Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Grundy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we discuss major life transitions, major directors, and of course, space boners. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Beautiful day in Los Angeles. Beautiful late afternoon. Sun-dappled windows. Am I sun-dappled right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's some light dappling.
I like that. I like to have a little dappling when I'm podcasting. You don't want sure. Severe dappling because your concern is, of course, cancer.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get cancer.
But hey, just regulate your dappling.
And you're going to be Robert Redford.
Dapple smart.
When you're 80, you're going to be Redford.
Sure.
Joining us this week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, of course, one of America's most beloved authoresses. She has written best-selling books, including but not limited to the recent Packing for Mars, which is just out in paperback, Bonk, about sex, Stiff, about what happens after you're dead in the world, not in the other world, and Mary Roach joining us. Mary, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Mary Roach is over there like, what have I gotten myself involved with?
I've never heard the word authoress before. Do you?
I like it. I also, when you said that, I thought maybe authoratrix. You know how don't female aviators get to be aviatrix?
Sure.
Yeah.
I want the trix suffix, please.
Listen, I will refer to you as an authoratrix.
Thank you.
As soon as you get a leather helmet and some goggles.
It's out there.
Great.
Yep. And okay. I will refer to you as an authoratrix as soon as you refer to me by my preferred title, which is Archaeopteryx.
The link between birds and dinosaurs. And I'll be, King Shlong. There you go. Great. We all have some more. We all have new nicknames.
This is just a sort of opening salvo question, an issue that's been on my mind since we were on our little Midwest jaunt to Chicago. Sure. In Ann Arbor. I took the train from Chicago to Ann Arbor for our Ann Arbor show, and at some point it went past an airport, or maybe I drove past an airport. At some point I was passing an airport. And I was sort of looking over into the airfield where all the airplanes were.
Is this a question about the Gene Buttman sign?
No, that's all you care about, Ann Arbor.
Mary, for your benefit, I saw a sign in Ann Arbor for a Ford dealership called Gene Buttman Ford. Anyway.
We should clarify, it won't benefit you very much that you know this information.
But, I don't know. Jesse, what were you yammering about that was non-Gene Buttman related?
I was checking out the airplanes. You know, yep. I like to check out their designs and graphics on there. I noticed an airplane, and it was labeled the tail was labeled USA 3000.
Yeah, I mean that definitely sounds like a foreign knockoff airplane.
What is that? That is like the dollar store airplane. Like if you get a good airplane at Boeing, but if you only got $20, you hit up USA 3000 in Waco, Texas.
Okay, what I want to know on the plane, it's some Alaskan airline. It might be Alaskan Airlines. Who's the guy with the fur hood? Is this a famous Alaskan? Is it just some guy?
That's Sarah Palin.
Is it Johnny Cash? You know the guy.
Is Johnny Cash Alaskan?
No, but he may have sung
North to Alaska at some point.
If you put a fur-lined parka on Johnny Cash, he kind of looks like the guy.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Well, now that's all I'll be able to think about when flying Alaska Air.
That guy is famous. I would say he's probably an Inuit guy, famous for his contributions to Alaska Airlines tail fin, and he then used his celebrity to battle fetal alcohol syndrome. So I take my hat off to him, which is a big problem in the Inuit community.
Well, here's the thing, though. If he's not famous, if that is just a generic painting of an Inuit man, does that apply to the same, like, accusations of racism as, like, the Cleveland Indians logo?
No, because if you've seen his eyes, he's not Inuit. He's got, I mean... Part, you know, this sounds...
You don't think the Alaska Airlines guy is Inuit?
Shall we say narrower eyes? He
doesn't
like,
have an eye corner fold? Because an Inuit will have the corner fold in the eye.
Canthus.
Wow.
Yes,
science author Mary Roach, ladies and gentlemen.
25 points, please. Canthus.
Mary, I'm sorry if someone told you this was a game show. It is not. This is not. Wait, don't tell me. I apologize. I know Jesse sometimes tells people that to get them in here, but...
You mean there's no gift pack of turtle wax?
No.
We do have a washer dryer, though. You don't get to keep it. I just have a washer dryer. I'm just excited because I can do laundry at home. I'm looking at him.
Can I say a word about laundry?
Yeah, of course. Yes, you can do your laundry here, Jordan.
Unlike Jesse, I'm not blessed with a washer dryer in the home. I have a, just like out back behind my apartment complex, there's a communal washer dryer. It's coin operated.
Luckily, you don't have to do laundry because you just get a free shipment of new promotional clothing every week.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, just, you know, whatever movie I happen to have covered. Oh, I got a sweet Fast and Furious 5 t-shirt that's in Portuguese. And it says, like, it's like Rápido e Furioso 5.
Wait, laundry. What happened to laundry?
Oh, laundry, yes.
Laundry.
I'm sorry. So
your host for this evening, Mary Roach,
keeping shit on track since a few minutes ago. I always feel a little bit of anxiety, but I've kind of gotten over it. Like if you need to use the dryer, like taking somebody's things out of the dryer, like it's always, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, especially if there's like lady things in there, I always feel a little bit bad about it. But it's something I've gotten over, and I, you know, I feel like I've been a laundry doormat for a long time. I've like, well, I'll just do it later, and I wait. But no, I feel like I've gotten a little bit bold, and I, you know, and it hasn't caused any trouble for me.
To be fair, you were in large part a laundry doormat because in the apartment complex that you lived in for 4 years or so, there was an insane woman who would scream at you about doing your laundry.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. Who had homemade Barack Obama jewelry.
And whose name was Peaches.
Her name was Peaches.
There's always an insane person in the laundry. Every laundromat has one. Mine on Haight Street. Was Shelley.
Oh, well, what was Shelley's deal?
Well, Shelley would use...
She was really into laundry, for one thing.
Well, no, sadly, not very, very into laundry. But she, no, one time there was there's a communal wastebasket for the lint and other, you know, the empty, small, bright boxes.
Sure.
The single use.
Yeah.
That which you would throw away. And she was using it as a toilet once, so I have a traumatic...
Oh, my.
I have a traumatic laundry.
Yeah.
Laundrette. Association.
I was doing some laundry this afternoon, and the situation happened where, you know, there was some wet laundry, someone else's wet laundry in the washing machine, and I needed to use it. So I'm like, well, I'll just take it out and put it in the dryer. That's what they would have done anyways. And I was taking the things out, and, you know, nothing too embarrassing in there. It was, you know, some shirts and like some cloth napkins. But then there was a stuffed horse in the washing machine. There are no children in my apartment complex, as far as I can tell. Maybe there might be one chained up, and maybe that's whose horse this is. But to me, for some reason, moving that stuffed horse out of the washer and into the dryer seems so much more intimate than touching someone's underwear to me. It was weird and creepy, and I had so much anxiety. Like, I had to stand back and really consider if I was going to move this stuffed horse.
Is that just because you were sexually excited, or were they unrelated?
There was a lot of feelings going on. One of them was sexual.
A lot of confusion.
It was a pretty hot horse.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why that bothered me so much. It seemed creepy that an adult owns and regularly washes a stuffed horse, but also I wasn't supposed to see that.
I have a creepy laundry question, my husband, who was not at the time my husband, mm-hmm. really had some second thoughts about being with me.
Yeah.
I told him this story, and I didn't really, and you may feel the same way. I'm going to share this with you. I used to.
Don't worry, it's just us.
I used to frequent a laundromat on Russian Hill in San Francisco. This is a fairly nice neighborhood. Okay, and on the floor right outside the laundromat was a rather nice pair of women's panties. Kind of nice, looked like my size. Coming in, and obviously on the way out after having cleaned them, dropped
these
them.
Weren't just like a jockey for
no,
her
these were,
six pack.
No, this they was were a, lovely. They were sure. Kind of, you know, a pale orange with a little bit of lace. So and
for,
I thought,
for an occasion, maybe.
Yes, yeah, it was occasion underwear, maybe. Sure. So I kept them, and I I picked. I thought some. Hey, I found some nice underwear panties
sure.
And,
on the street.
Well, but coming out of the laundromat, dropped them freshly laundered. I my association was these are clean. They've been fresh.
Apart from having been on the ground for a bit.
Well, okay, but
and having been on a lady's private parts then, that wasn't yours.
Sure.
But then washed and then washed again.
Yeah.
Well,
let me ask you this. I mean, this might affect how I feel about this, and maybe it's embarrassing that I don't know this, but what is a pair of ladies' occasion underwear cost? Like, how much money were you saving by...
Okay.
The only situation Jordan buys something like that, it's like for his mom for Mother's Day.
Sure.
This was probably between 15 and... I'd say it was about a $15 pair. It was a nice pair.
But you would pick up a $15 bill on the street if you saw it, right?
Yeah.
If they had them.
Yeah, yep. Sure.
I mean, yep. I would be disappointed that it was just a screed for marijuana legalization.
Right.
But yeah, I probably okay. would. Or it could be a collector's item.
Yeah.
You could be looking at a collector's item.
Sure.
I wonder that
James K. Polk on it.
I apparently this is the answer to my question, which is... Sometimes I do a lot of thrift store shopping, and sometimes I'll be at the thrift store, even one of my favorite thrift stores. It has this chest of drawers, and in these drawers is like suspenders and, pocket handkerchiefs, that kind of thing. But then one of the drawers, you open it, and it's socks.
Yeah.
And just jockey underwear, just tidy whities. You know, who is going into this drawer? Who is the person who's like,
Jesse, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think you don't know.
Yeah.
If you go underneath the socks and the jockeys, that's where Dad hides his Playboys. So I think you were duped, my friend. You played right into Dad's hands. You didn't get to see the Playboys.
Mary Roach is our guest on Jordan, Jesse, Go. We'll be back with more in just a second. Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Me, Mary Roach, author tricks.
Yes, author tricks, Mary Roach. Mary was a guest on The Sound of Young America to talk about her recent book, Packing for Mars. Was such a delight that I asked her publicist, if she comes back to Los Angeles, I hope that she'll come be on Jordan, Jesse, Go. That's how delightful she is.
Delightful.
And her book.
Nice.
I felt like I should...
That's the kind of behind-the-curtains insider talk that people listen to this podcast for. They wonder how it happens.
Yeah.
How do podcasts get guests?
And it's fascinating.
That's how.
Yeah. Mary Roach joining us. You're about to go... You're just in the middle of your book tour, right?
I am in my book tour.
Your second book tour.
My second.
That's good, though. That's the sign that you're a successful writer when you get a second book tour when the book comes out in paperback.
The paperback. Mm. The fact that it just made it to paperback is always good. They don't always.
When you're on a book tour, where are your hotbeds? Where do people just go ape shit for you? Like a Powell's? Powell's in
Powell's
Portland?
Is always good.
In your
Powell's,
case,
yes.
It's people going ape shit for a unique combination of interesting science information and witticisms. Hmm.
Precisely. They love that at Powell's. Powell's was good. I was in Houston last week. I've never done an event in Houston, so that was interesting.
Did you get a good crowd?
It was good. Up front, I said, is there anyone here from the Johnson Space Center Public Affairs Office? Okay, good. Nobody's here. That's good.
I feel like what we would do on this Jordan, Jesse, Go is just ask Mary Roach all of the sex and space questions that we couldn't ask her on The Sound of Young America, except that I did that for like 15 or 20 minutes after we finished The Sound of Young America interview and put it into the podcast, which I highly recommend people listen to, our interview with Mary Roach.
We could do the chimp sex questions.
Chimp sex?
We didn't do the chimp sex questions.
Is this from?
Are there some lingering chimp sex issues you feel like you guys didn't get to?
Space chimp sex questions.
Wait, did the space chimps have any sexual activity that was recorded?
Chimps. Well, there was a rumor, and I tracked this rumor down. Enos, remember Enos the penis?
Yeah.
Yeah. This was the.
I'm not familiar with this particular space. I'm familiar with the film Space Chimps. Yeah,
you did see a movie once called Enos the Penis, but it wasn't about space chimps. So, These are two different things.
So you can see why I'm a little confused.
Enos was the second space chimp, the one who went up before John Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was Ham. Everybody knows Ham. Sure. Ham's the one. It was the cover of Life magazine, and you can still to this day buy Life magazines with him on the cover with the little monkey paw print, which in fact... his handler admitted to me after a while it wasn't Ham because they thought they were going to wear out his little paw. So it was any monkey.
Oh, so just a random
handy
non-space, non-remarkable. Wait, so what was the Enos the penis rumor?
Okay, Enos, well, there's the...
And by the way, you only name something Enos if you're going to eventually call it Enos. Like, there's no reason, like, no, what's named Enos?
Wasn't there someone on Dukes of Hazzard?
Oh, I don't know.
The character, he was named Magina.
You just made me snort.
Anyway, Enos the penis. What was the rumors?
All right. Well, Enos, his official name was Enos, and then he was known as Enos the penis, and there were all these books saying that the reason he was called Enos the penis is because he had a fairly intense masturbation habit, so much so that this is one rumor that he had to.
Should they have called him Yakov then? I don't know. Anyway,
apparently he was when he orbited the Earth. Apparently he was supposedly doing it he was up there. I thought this was great because it would be the first human-like organ creature that had sex in space. So there would be sex in space because people are saying, has anybody had sex in space? And I was like, there we go.
But you know what?
Enos had sex with himself.
If you're a human astronaut and like that first moment where you get to look at Earth and you know you get to see the seas and the Alps all at once, I bet they just jack off.
Houston, the world looks so tiny below me. I'm so fucking hard right now.
They should have sent a poet, because I'm just going to jack off.
Overwhelmed by my power. Scientific and sexual. Sure. Over.
If I lean my head correctly, it looks like my dick is bigger than the world.
May I interject a sober scientific fact here?
Of course.
Okay. There's been some discussion as to whether being weightless makes erections harder or softer.
Uh-huh.
And I have the scientific answer.
What is it?
It has to do with, your blood, you got more blood on the upper half of the body. And the dividing line is right at the sort of right around the navel.
Mm-hmm.
So everything below that has less fluid to work with. So it's less activity.
Oh.
Softer erections.
Damn.
Yep.
See, this is the kind of important information that they didn't tell me on Nova Science Now with Neil deGrasse Tyson, how smart are animals.
So there's probably less space sex and more space cuddling then.
Yes, there would be cuddling and in the little sleeping sack that they attach to the wall.
Sure.
Little sleeping sack.
Yeah. They have to go. They have to bring everything into the special airplane, Jordan, because otherwise they don't know whether it will work in zero gravity and what's a good place to put some Velcro on it so it doesn't just float around and hit people in the face.
Sure,
you can be woken up by your own M&Ms hitting you in the face, or your own hand hitting you in the face.
I'm glad the subject of companion animals was brought up, because something I was responding to an advertisement on Craigslist I was looking for a masturbating chimpanzee. No, I was looking for some bar stools.
Sure.
And I went to this house, and it was sort of like the, it was sort of a back house. It was like a little bungalow off the street a little bit. And it had a front porch, a sort of small front porch with side stairs. And I went up the side stairs, and I nearly hit my head on what at first I thought was a clothesline. But then I was like, that's not a clothesline. A clothesline would be covered in vinyl and it would be bigger. It was sort of like a, it was just sort of a thin cable that was running from about 6 feet off the ground, right to the left of the front door of this house, down to a building that was maybe 12 feet away. And I'm trying to figure out what is this weird thing. And then I'm looking at it and I notice that there's a carabiner attached to it. And there is just another cable hanging down off of it. And I'm thinking like, is this, the best I can think of is maybe it's some kind of like a shortwave antenna or something like that. Like it's for
zip line.
Or some kind of zip line. Like I'm trying to figure out what is going on here because it's not thick enough to support a zip. It's not thick enough for any zipping. It's not really screwed into the wall well enough to actually do anything. Like it couldn't support anything. I'm trying to figure out what is this fucking thing. So I ring the doorbell. The guy comes out. He's really nice. He's got these bar stools. The bar stools look great. They're going to be perfect for our kitchen counter. And while I'm about to pay him, this elderly cat sort of flomps out onto the patio. And I'm like, oh, what a sweet elderly cat. And the man reaches down, grabs the cable that was lying down on the ground, clips that to a carabiner, and then clips that to the cat's collar. It was like some kind of
crazy cat run.
Wow. So this cat is like walking out.
The cat doesn't leave the ground.
No.
Oh, okay. That sounds funnier. He should do that.
But it is essentially a zip line, only without leaving the ground, and it's for a cat.
Is it because he can't walk?
It was because the guy had seen a lot of coyotes in the neighborhood recently, and he knew his cat was old and couldn't get away from a coyote.
So this is presuming the coyote can't get over the fence into the yard, because otherwise that would just sort of hold the cat steady for the coyote's eating pleasure.
I know.
It would reduce by one dimension the number of directions the cat could run from the coyote.
Back and forth only.
Yeah. Up and down that string. Anyway, I thought that was just such a marvelous example of human ingenuity.
Yeah.
And also kind of weird and sad.
I wonder if it was just to help him be upright. Like Jordan.
Yeah,
was saying,
no, I think maybe
it was a mobility aid.
Like a support.
Yeah.
If he had been, I would buy that if he had been wearing one of those like harnesses. Like you take a bunny for a walk. Hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, right. Over the chest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
One of those bunny for a walk type situations.
Just by the neck would be uncomfortable. Right.
Oh. Yeah. Jordan. On the subject of animals. And specifically bunnies. Mm-hmm. I should explain to Mary. Sometimes my wife for Christmas every year buys me a calendar featuring some of my favorite animals. My favorite animal, of course, is bunny rabbits. I think they're probably the cutest animal. I used to have a bunny rabbit named Miss Bunny when I was a little kid. Anyway, every year my wife buys me one of these calendars, and every year, every month, on the first of the month, we have what's called in our household New Bunny Day, which is where I close my eyes and my wife turns the page of the calendar, and then I get to see what the new bunny is. Anyway, Jordan.
Yeah, so you think the cat harness is weird and sad? The cat harness.
So this. That's so the
weird,
thing of it
but
is,
this bunny.
It's great.
Eye covering, peekaboo.
It's like a little
adults.
Holiday. It's like getting your own holiday.
But a cat on a harness. That's weird and sad. Okay.
I understand.
Anyway.
Calendar. Yeah.
Look, nope. It's number one. I'll just say this, Jordan. Maybe it was sad when it was just bunnies, but this year it's bunnies and their baby animal friends. So this month, I just want to tell Mary what it was this month. It's so adorable.
No. You don't have to listen to it.
Okay.
Fine.
Last, the April Bunny. I'm going to start with the April Bunny.
April Bunny should be good. It's Easter.
It was like a tan bunny.
It has to be good.
It was a little tan bunny.
This is ridiculous. You have some sort of brain disease. The fact
and
that you like this.
Next to the tan bunny was a duckling, Mary.
Worst.
And they matched because they were both golden colored.
Oh,
but this month's bunny, in honor of May. Oh my gosh. Just imagine this. It is.
I weep for your future child. He might as well be in some sort of weird orphanage. This is so bizarre.
It is a snow white bunny, just as fresh and pure.
I am
going to
call social services as soon
driven
as that
snow.
Baby is born, because you are unhealthy.
With
this
it.
Is
just imagine.
Bizarre.
The whitest little kitty you've ever seen in your entire life.
Do you remember those? Those maybe they don't have. You guys are young, but there used to be these Easter.
You don't have to humor
spun,
him, Mary. You don't have
these
to humor
spun,
him.
Those sugar eggs, and you would look. You put your little child eye up to the little orifice, and inside would be the little tiny bunny seen.
Oh, that is so
what's
sweet,
going
Mary.
On here? And why is this like a? Wait, did
these
you guys
look?
Because I was a little late.
Sweet.
Did you plan something that would upset me?
These
I was a little late,
look,
so you guys conspired something.
These look as sweet.
It would make me want to put a gun in my
a sugar
fucking
spun
mouth
treat for Easter
and pull the trigger. Oh, I long for the sweet taste of gunmetal.
Anyway, it was a great new bunny day. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Mary Roach, author of Tricks.
Author of Packing for Mars, about the space program. Lots of cool stuff about space sex in there. Just space food, astronaut ice cream, the whole nine yards. Basically everything you need to know about that information. I like, Mary, I'm going to tell you, I like that your book is, that your books are actual books and also about things like chimpanzees masturbating in space. Like, the combination of those two things is really... Because usually it would just be like... It would just be a point-of-sale impulse buy type situation. 12 chimpanzees that have masturbated in space.
Something you buy at Urban Outfitters.
Masturbating chimpanzee calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're covering the important issues, including important issues like...
Masturbating chimpanzees.
Exactly. Speaking of important issues.
Yes.
I think we've talked a fair amount about Werner Herzog on this program.
We have.
We've talked about the time he did an interview and got shot in the middle and didn't want to stop. We've talked about the time that he had a bet with Errol Morris that if Errol Morris put out a feature film, he would eat his hat.
Shoe.
His shoe.
Shoe.
Mm-hmm. And he did.
We've talked a lot of great Werner Herzog stuff. Of course, we've talked Port of Call. What's that called?
Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans,
pretty much to death. I met Werner Herzog this week.
Pretty good.
It was so wonderful. It was so exciting to get to hear that ridiculous voice coming out of a real person saying things.
Do Germans listen to him and go, wow, that's a ridiculous voice? Like, or does that, is
so,
that just what
well,
guys sound
it,
like?
It's
there?
Not just his, it's not just his accent, though. Mm-hmm. I think it's his combination of sort of poetic vision, grandiloquence, accent, and good humor.
And a little bit of nuts.
And a little bit of craziness. It's funny because I watched his new movie, which is called The Cave of Forgotten Dreams. And it's a 3D documentary about the oldest cave paintings in the world.
Yeah.
And I say this right now, right here, to every Jordan Jesse Go listener, go see it now in 3D. It's fucking amazing. It's so amazing. You want to see it in 3D because the 3D is so enhances it. The stuff is, have you already seen it?
No, I heard him on Terry Gross. She was calling him Werner. No.
Yeah, she did.
Come on.
I noticed
Werner?
That she called him Werner.
I know you're American, but can't you say
yeah,
Werner?
Well, I mean, you'd think that
Werner?
Being in public radio, she would relish in the chance to, like, over-pronounce a foreign name.
It is,
she's like, here's where I shine.
It made me think that maybe he prefers Werner, because she's got producers that check on that kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah, I
think
I
she's to the point now where she just says, fuck it, to producer. She does what she wants to.
Does she say, come to der Wiener Schnitzel? No, it's Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah. I would even, call you can even add a der in front of there. Der Wiener Schnitzel. Der Wiener Schnitzel.
It is technically der, isn't it?
Yeah. They won't correct you.
But one of the things about this movie is it's in this cave of these cave paintings that are literally, the thing that blew my mind was the point that I read in something about this cave that it has been, since the dawn of recorded history, you know, a few thousand years, it's been a couple of hundred generations of human beings, the 300 or something like that. And this is a couple of thousand generations before that. So these are human beings, but on a scale that we cannot even manage to comprehend. And these things are so beautiful.
But, okay, and what I don't understand, and I listened to the Terry Gross.
Yeah.
What does the 3D do? These are paintings on a wall.
They're the thing is cave walls are not two-dimensional. So they're not. It's not like the. It's not like a painting on the. It's not like a fresco on the roof of the Sistine Chapel or whatever. It's the cave walls are very angular and jutting, and the actual paintings are painted so essentially that the shapes of the walls are part of the composition of the painting, which I didn't. Huh. Expect, but it's amazing. And also just caves are really cool to look at in 3D.
And he narrates it too, right?
And that's what it is his voice. Like, he makes these crazy claims, and as he put it when I interviewed him, he said that he prefers not to be present an accountant's version of the truth, but rather a poet's version of the truth. And he is able to sell that, including the epilogue that features some albino alligators and speculation about whether these radioactive albino alligators could escape, and what in tens of thousands of years when they've escaped and developed cognition or something, what they would think of these cave paintings. All of that is sold by Werner Herzog, 10 out of 10. I would buy it from Werner Herzog 7 days a week and twice on Sunday. And I cannot imagine, not even like Patrick Stewart or Sir Ian McKellen or something could intone those ridiculous things that Werner Herzog is saying and me just accept them so enthusiastically and wholeheartedly from any other person. From the show Frasier.
I feel like they should start casting him in like narrative films as things, like just little parts.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Like the way they started throwing Ricky Jay into things.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
When like exactly. Kevin Smith turns it up in something,
just
but like a good version of that.
Just because people just love him. They just want to throw him in a movie. See, he should be in more. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and Werner Herzog also is coincidentally the only other person in the world who can kill a man with a thrown playing card. So they both have that. But you met him. I interviewed him for The Sound of Young America. I had to go to his hotel suite and interview him. Our interview got cut without explanation from 45 minutes to 20 minutes. So you will be hearing it in its entirety on The Sound of Young America.
Including when someone asked you to stop.
Yeah. No, that's such a weird, like the biggest reason that I hate going somewhere to do an interview for The Sound of Young America, which, you know, the equipment is a hassle and the going somewhere is a hassle and it's less comfortable for me to do it in someone else's territory in a random hotel. But the real reason is the publicist will just open the door in the middle of the interview and be like, we got 2 minutes left. And you're like, you know, this isn't a print interview, right? Like, you know, these are live microphones recording our, but anyway, it was totally amazing.
They did an interview with him in GQ recently, and it's just kind of this little throwaway fact, but the writer said he insisted on doing the interview inside the Museum of Jurassic Technology.
Cool.
Yeah.
God bless him. If I had time, I wanted to ask him whether he knew about the Museum of Jurassic Technology.
He apparently insists on doing magazine interviews there.
Oh, God bless him. There's a tea room there now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the best thing in Los Angeles for those of you out there who are listening and might come and visit Los Angeles. But Jordan, you also met an eminent director recently.
And it's not not a particularly interesting subject, but I feel like we talked it to death the other day, so I should at least we should at least offer an epilogue a little bit. Mary, we were talking about the movie Thor and how weird it is that Kenneth Branagh is directing it.
You know, the director of Much Ado About Nothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
4-hour Hamlet.
Yeah.
I got to see an advanced screening of Thor in order to work at the press junket of it, and it's pretty good. It is pretty good, and the
Who plays Thor?
Kenneth Branagh. Yes,
really?
Yes.
Interestingly, Denzel Washington.
Yeah,
from Much Ado About Nothing.
This guy named Chris Hemsworth, and I don't really know much about his credits before playing Thor. I think, maybe his thing was, I think he was in that Star Trek reboot as something.
Oh.
Anyway, but he is great, and the movie is pretty good. The Thor is pretty good, and the action stuff works. It doesn't seem like Kenneth Branagh doesn't know how to do crazy CGI action battles. They're pretty good. And the funny stuff is funny. And that was the weirdest
part
to me.
Wait, there's funny stuff in Thor?
I can't even think of the plot line of Thor. Thor is the god of... Doesn't he throw thunderbolts down from somewhere?
Yeah, here's the thing, is they've had to kind of alter the comic book plot of Thor for... I think they didn't want to suggest that, Roman gods are real, because maybe the, same people who burn Harry Potter books would come out against Thor. So in this version, he is an alien, and they've kind of alluded to the fact that his race came to Earth, and that's who the Norsemen worshipped.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so he comes to Earth, and they banish him to Earth, and they get rid of his powers for... kind of the middle chunk of the movie. So the middle chunk of the movie, there's a fair amount of fish out of water humor.
Sort of like Star Trek 4.
Yeah, sure. Sort of like Star Trek 4 when Chekhov talks to the computer. There's a lot of that. And you know what? It's actually pretty funny. It's pretty
Hello,
funny.
Hello, computer.
It's pretty funny and charming. And the action stuff works. And I got to talk to Kenneth Branagh at the junket, and he was really nice and had a good sense of humor.
Oh, that's great.
And I got to tell him about this memory that I kind of even forgot I had before I went in there about when I was in high school, I was, I was a drama kid and super into it.
You kind of look like you could be his cuter little nephew.
Oh, Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah,
that would be fun. I would like to be Kenneth Branagh's
I was thinking
nephew.
Denzel Washington, but I think
Much
we're
Ado
both
About
on
Nothing.
The same. Yeah.
And I got, before the cameras turned, I'm like, oh, hey, I just remembered this. When I was super into drama class in high school, I think after homecoming dance one year, we all went in our tuxes and formal wear to see a midnight version of his 4-hour Hamlet to just feel like fucking big shots. Anyways, super magical memory that I just like. And he seemed to appreciate that. So way to go, Kenneth Branagh. Way to go, Thor movie.
Well, that's great. I'm happy to hear that it's good. That's something that, I mean, look, I'll put it this way. I'm not a big fan of the Star Trek.
Sure.
I don't really care about the Star Trek. I'm sure there's fans of the Star Trek out there.
Despite talking about Star Trek 4 basically every other podcast.
But I do love Star Trek 4.
Sure.
So I'm not against taking a beloved nerd thing and then turning it into a fish out of water comedy.
A thought about beloved nerd thing. This
yes.
was kind of a weird thing, and I maybe...
No one actually loves Thor.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, yes, that is an issue. But I think
I never knew Thor was a comic. I never knew it was a comic.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
He's in the Avengers, right? Isn't he in the Avengers?
Here's the thing: is
no,
that there are
the original Avengers.
Yeah,
he was one of the
he was one of the
original Avengers. But here's the thing: when they're trying to assemble this Avengers movie,
wait, Diana Rigg and dude with bowler? That
no,
Avengers?
Not that
oh,
Avengers.
No, no,
the
okay,
comic
sorry.
Book Avengers,
the Marvel Super Team. They already made a movie of that.
Captain America.
I'll go stand outside the door till you're done with this. Particular.
Well, you know, actually, this little misunderstanding kind of sets up this weird moment that I had. Hard to find people to talk to at these press junkets who aren't totally obnoxious. So, you know, I feel like
are entertainment pseudo journalists.
Yes, and bad people for the most part. And so, I really like glom on to the people that I found I like. And there's this guy from the website FearNet who's just this kind of nice nerdy guy, and we get along real well, and we can kind of sit together and gab before we have our interview turns. And I was talking to him. We were talking about Thor and the kind of the ways that they're setting up this Avengers movie. And we were talking about, oh, did you see this? This is probably this. And there was this kind of girl sitting behind us from MTV who is, you know, very much the what you would think a entertainment reporter girl would be. She's very cute, you know, very hiply dressed, bubbly, nice. And she says, she just kind of chimes into this conversation. She's like, hey, when they mentioned gamma radiation in the movie, were they talking about Green Lantern? My nerd buddy I was talking to whipped around immediately and told her, no, they were talking about the Hulk. Green Lantern is from the DC universe. So he this girl who's just kind of trying to nicely join the conversation, he shuts her down. Now, in the real world, who's the jerk in that situation? My friend. He's the jerk in that situation. That's a shitty thing to do. But she was so embarrassed that she started to frantically rattle off her nerd credentials. She's like, no, I mean, I just never read Thor as a kid, so I don't know. And we tried to return to the conversation, but she would always chime in with like, I play Guitar Hero, or like, I played a lot of video games as a kid, or I mainly read the X-Men comics. Like, she was so, she felt so embarrassed that she got this nerd thing wrong that she felt the need to kind of rudely badger us so that we would think that she was a nerd. And it's weird because there's this kind of new character in media these days, I feel like. Maybe not new, but it's more of a thing, is the kind of girl tomboy, but for nerd stuff. And I feel like that's what every kind of female personality wants to be. You know, they want to be the girl who can drink a beer and play video games with you and can talk Star Wars. But I, as a guy who likes that stuff, like, I don't fucking care. Like, I've never wanted my girlfriends to be in the nerd space with me. I don't know.
I agree. No, it's...
But if they're there naturally. They're not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right. I mean, and I've absolutely appreciated when I've had girlfriends and we can, like, bond. We do have a similar interest, but it's not... Like, I don't need that desperate attempt to kind of, you know...
I think there are people... I think there are dudes whose world is so wrapped up in that,
sure,
that there aren't other outside influences. And that has been become, I think in the age of the internet, that has become sort of self-reinforcing.
Yeah.
In that
sure.
There, you don't get beat up every day.
Right.
You just get beat up every day for a while, and then you just get in this feedback
loop.
The
king of a message board.
Yeah, exactly. And look, as the king of a couple of message boards, I'm not putting this down.
Sure.
But I think that just kind of panders to that thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's more, frankly, it's more of a sad commentary on, it's more of a sad commentary on the dudes than it is on the ladies. I mean, honestly, like, there's all this controversy. I think an example of this kind of person might be Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
Whether Olivia Munn from The Daily Show is...
For sure.
She's the top one of this thing. And, like, there's all this kind of, like, is she a real geek or is she just pandering or whatever? Like, who gives a shit? Is Chuck Woolery really into relationships? Like,
sure.
She's a television host, you know? Her job is to be fun and be knowledgeable enough about something to...
She's supposed to be a geek, Olivia Munn?
Yeah, she's supposed to be a geek.
Yeah, she got her start on G4, commentating about video games and like. And yeah, and I think her... But that's why she got famous, because she is that kind of nerd tomboy. But her credentials are often called into question.
But I know exactly the part that I know what you mean about is the part where it's the same thing as that that sexy race car driver whose name I can't think of.
Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick. It's sort of like...
Oh, man. Okay, hold on. Fucking Danica Patrick. There's one of those GoDaddy ads with Patrick that are supposed to be so sexy, and they tell you to, like, go online to see the whole thing. And there's this one where she stopped... by a cop. She stopped by a sexy lady cop, and Danica Patrick says to the cop, you look like you could be a GoDaddy girl. And the lady cop says, you know, like, I've always wanted to. Let's roll. And she grabs her lady cop blouse, I don't know, and she rips it open in this sexy way, and there's like this music sting, but she's just wearing a full sleeve t-shirt underneath it. Like, wow. Va-voom. I don't know. You think there would be like a lacy bra or a bikini top on it with the way that she rips, but it's just this t-shirt. I don't know. And it's like, Why did that happen? Anyway.
I have a Danica Patrick footnote in one of my books.
Please. Really?
I can't remember which book.
The sex one, the space one, or the death one?
I can't. Let me see if I... She was being interviewed somewhere about... Oh, I think it's the space one because it was... She was talking about how if you're in a race, you got to go to the bathroom, you just... go, but
oh,
they
okay.
but they don't, unlike the astronauts, they don't wear the adult pull-up diapers.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, I mean, some of them do, some of them don't, but she described how difficult it had been for her, and she was thinking to herself, just do it. And then I thought, yeah, no Nike sponsorship for you.
Maybe that's the extended GoDaddy ad you see if you go on the internet. The female cop says, let's roll. But then Danica Patrick says, I have to change my pants first because they're full of shit.
The original Sound of Young America co-host Matt Dobbs, the guy who hosted the Sound of Young America with me for the first week that the Sound of Young America existed before his class schedule changed and we brought Jordan on. He, at home, his father ran an import-export business. And so Matt was always annoyed because he had to answer the phone at his house, like Dobbs import-export, and then like put someone on hold if it was someone for Mr. Dobbs, which is what Mr. Dobbs liked to be called. And it started out like importing like Central American stuff, like pan flutes or something. But then inexplicably... this was in the early age of the internet when things were very flexible. He started selling a product called the Sneak-a-Leak that was some sort of penis bag.
Like the astronauts used
for like truck drivers or something like that. And so
condom attachment, a little tubing and a little.
Poor Matt Dobbs at home as like a 17-year-old would have to answer the phone like, hello, you know, Dobbs import exports, and then
home of the sneak a leak
when a girl called or whatever. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying about the girl boy thing,
sure,
is that it's sort of like, look, I think that it's awesome if a lady is into a traditionally dude thing.
Sure.
You know, look, I'm into outfits. I do some sewing from time to time. But there's something a little bit below that that's about it's sort of like According to Jim or something. It's sort of like, yeah, finally someone who gets me for who I am, someone who hates women.
Yeah.
Finally a woman who hates women too.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is that thing. It's like if you had to. These women who want to be these nerd tomboys, like the fact that they've had to bone up, you know, that they've had to like kind of artificially acquire all of this knowledge, like really, it's like in your heart of hearts, you think this is dumb because
it's sad. It's like the scene in, isn't it, Diner, where one of the characters makes the girlfriend remember all the baseball statistics,
yeah,
in order to get married, and it's
sure,
it's sad.
Yes, and I think in this situation, the baseball statistics are replaced with facts about Zelda continuity,
and
branching paths, alternate histories.
In my marriage, the baseball statistics are replaced with baseball statistics.
Sure.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La la la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Mary Roach, author of Packing for Mars.
That's not even really a nickname. That's just a plug for your book.
Oh, no. Well, I said author of tricks. I thought the tricks thing was wearing thin.
That's true, but I mean,
no.
Let's be honest.
This is the Jordan Jesse Go philosophy on comedy. Just keep doing it.
Yeah.
This is Mary Roach, author of tricks.
Yay! Yeah. See, we're delighted.
Mary, I've been saying Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart, against my better judgment for more than 10 years now, since I was 19 years old. So your third time out with author of tricks is nothing. Okay. So here on Jordan Jesse Go, we have a little Jumbotron-style sponsorship system. $100 for a personal message, $200 for a commercial message, and we will share it with our audience of thousands. Here's what we've got this week. A listener named Greg Galchick, who is known online as Spin with two N's. That is his pen name, his nom de plume de internet. He has a website, a web comic specifically called Scribs, which is online at scribs.us, a popular web comic. He wants everyone to know that as of right now, it's on hiatus. So that's always the best time to focus your marketing efforts.
Well, you can get in there and catch up now for the new people. I think that's the strategic reason for this publicity blitz that we're a part of.
Exactly. He says that at one point he ran a website called Dysfunctional Family Circus that got him Bill Keen's home telephone number. And he's also the web he's also the webmaster of abevagoda.com. So he is really on top of basically all of your major internet phenomena.
Abe's still going, right?
I don't know. So. You have to log into abevagoda.com to find out. Yes, he's alive. That's all abevagoda.com is, by the way. It's a status thing that says whether he's alive or dead. Anyway.
So is Scribs, is this a play on it on Scrubs? It sounds like sort of a combination of medical student and writer.
Oh, yeah.
Scribs.
It's some of these little guys, different webcomics guys, short sleeve guys, that kind of thing. I'm looking at the website right now.
Short sleeve guys.
Yeah, you know, these type of guys wear these short sleeve dress shirts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. You wrote that space book.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, it's online at scribs.us. I hope that you will visit it. Check out the webcomic. I know there are a lot of webcomic fans out there. I know because I met several of them. I did our friend David Malky, the creator of Wondermark, which you can also find in the AV Club these days, invited me to do a live reading at his book party here in Los Angeles. I did a book party. I met several Jordan Jesse Go fans there. And I was also gratified that there is a crowd nerdier than at a Jordan Jesse Go show.
At a webcomics reading.
Yeah, at a webcomics reading. Also, here is a personal message. Courtney offering congratulations for her husband, Whit, who is on his last final and gets his law degree from Wake Forest University School of Law on the 15th. Our congratulations and condolences to Whit, who has made probably the worst mistake of his life, but he made it 4 years ago and he's stuck through. And, you know, from personal experience, I can say, great, you know, in 6 months, hopefully you'll be able to go work for your spouse. No, I'm just kidding. Probably Whit actually will like being a lawyer, and he actually has a job, apparently, which is very rare for someone graduating law school the last year or two. So the message she asked me to deliver to Whit specifically was, keep it up, Whit. So, keep it up, Whit. Good work. If you want to have a message on Jordan, Jesse, Go, or any of our podcasts, stop podcasting yourself, my brother and me, just email Teresa, T-H-E-R-E-S-A, at MaximumFun.org. It's fun and affordable.
Sure.
Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Mary Roach, author of tricks.
See, still fun.
Yeah, said with commitment, it can still be fun. I haven't gotten an email that says you're not actually America's radio sweetheart in a long time.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, that should be nice.
Do people nominate someone other than you?
Usually Ira Glass, and then I'm usually forced to agree with them. Ira Glass is great. I mean, he's much more talented and skilled than I am. There's no doubt about that. But that's fine. There's room for Ira Glass and me.
He's not a sweetheart.
I don't know. Tell that to
it's cold.
Tell that to the ladies of that to the ladies of Williamsburg. the square eyeglass ladies of Williamsburg.
He's graying very well too, I've noticed.
Yeah, he's a handsome man.
I've never seen a picture of Ira Glass.
Yeah, well, he's going a little gray and it suits him.
No, he's a winner. There's no doubt about that. Look, when somebody sends me that email, I just have to send them back an email. Yes, only when I say it, it's a joke. That's my only thing I can say in response to that. Speaking of graying, by the way, Jordan, last week on Jordan Jesse Go, we talked about the fact that last week was my 30th birthday. Mm-hmm. My wife is going to birth a child. Mm-hmm. We have a backyard.
Sure.
With a grill, a gas grill.
Mm-hmm. Several dogs.
We have several dogs. I have essentially, I have fully transitioned into adult life at the age of 30.
Sure.
And so we talked a little bit about how it's odd that because I spent all of my 20s building a podcast and building a minor media empire, I feel embarrassed that I never did anything that I should look back on with regret and laugh about because I was just busy podcasting the whole time. And so we asked listeners for their thoughts and advice as an action item. Brian, the former intern, is screening our calls this month. A special guest call screener, Brian Fernandez. Thanks to Brian. So,
wouldn't that be cool if we had a celebrity guest call screener who like didn't like but was like super famous?
Can we just claim that from here on out?
He's call, yeah.
This week's celebrity guest call screener, John Ratzenberger.
Sure.
Cliff from Cheers. okay, let's see what these telephone calls are.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse. I'm calling in response to Jesse. It seems like you're considering having a midlife crisis. I'm going to say don't. I'm going to say you're probably one of the most well-grounded people that I've ever heard of. And go on and be a dad, man. I think that's fantastic, and I think you're going to make a great father. In fact, I wish you were my father. And Jordan Aww. Can be my brother, and we could go play ball or something. Okay, anyway, and Jordan, to you, I think you're not fucking enough girls. I think that's your problem, man. I think you need to get out there and play ball. All right, then. Goodbye.
We didn't ask what Jordan's problem was, number one.
I did pose in my last year of 20s what I should do.
Oh, you should fuck more girls? They don't know much about
you. Yeah, you don't
know
how many girls I fucked, dude. You're right. You're right. I'm insulted that you made that snap judgment.
Jordan, did you hear this week's Jordan Jesse Go? Judge John Hodgman that was all about Mega Man X?
No, I haven't listened to a Judge John Hodgman. I'm sorry.
Armored Armadillo came up a lot.
Oh, sure.
I thought that's something you could talk about in the future on Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah, Armored Armadillo. I do have some thoughts about the Mega Man X franchise.
What are your thoughts about the Mega Man X franchise?
It's really fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it's totally fun.
The way they described it on Judge John Hodgman, it sounded like it was one of those things where you have to do this. You have to do each thing in order, and there's no clues. You just have to randomly do stuff until something works.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the world of Mega Man bosses, is that you can beat them with your normal weapons, but there are other weapons you get throughout the game that make it easier. So if you do it in order, you can kill the bosses really easily.
I'm sorry. I'm with video game celebrity Morgan Webb, who was our special guest on this one. She said it was bullshit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she said the Mega Man X games are kind of bullshit. So I'm with her.
Well, fine.
Sorry. What's your position on this?
Mary Roach, Mega Man X. It takes place in an alternate timeline.
Okay, so I'm just going to rewind the tape just a little bit, Jordan. I have a question for you. Not that I'm skipping Mega Man X, because I have a lot to say about Mega Man X.
Yeah.
A lot. A question for you. So, okay, now that nerddom is hip. I mean, you've got Seth Rogen and Zach Galifianakis, and I mean, huge male kind of nerd sex symbols. Is it a lot easier for the nerd to get laid? I mean, is it now? I mean, is this in a sea change?
Yeah,
as they say?
Is.
Well, Jordan is. I mean, sexual catnip.
Yeah, I mean, I give off a certain musk, and I don't know if that's just because
of the Cheeto dust, or
I can't say the fact that I play a lot of Mortal Kombat has anything to do with that musk,
right?
Maybe the musk would be stronger if I didn't, or maybe it would be weaker. I don't know, but all I know is that I'm just going to keep excreting it, and it's hard to analyze.
It's hard to separate out which is the sort of Seth Rogen run over, and which is just what you would guess get because of your natural musk.
Sure. I might seriously say I think that I do not think the fact that there are nerd celebrities is changing the kinds of men that women are attracted to. I don't really,
really?
Think so.
Huh.
Yeah, I think that the women who are going to be attracted to nerds probably would be if, you know, Seth Rogen had never become famous. And I think that the, even, you know, the women who would be attracted to, you know, well put together, handsome men will probably still be attracted to them, even though they really, really enjoy Knocked Up.
I would guess they've got a certain cachet now.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it would have turned things upside down for a lot of the population.
Yeah. I don't think
Mary Roach is hitting on you, Jordan. I'm going to do what I usually do and pretend to fall asleep. Okay, let's take another telephone call here.
Hi, yes, this is for the action item of what Jesse needs to do before he's a father. Okay, now Jesse has built an empire out of nothing, and he is like a spectacular dresser.
Some would argue that I had some talent.
No, just pure. This is a Big Bang situation.
And Jordan, you've been there since the beginning. I at least had you.
Sure.
Matt Dobbs.
I'm insulted for me and the creator of the pee pouch. What is that thing?
Sneakily,
yeah.
Pee pouch.
And finds awesome talent. So basically, Jesse is too good. See, the problem is that Jesse can't teach his child about the mistakes that he's learned. So what you have to do, just for starters, is you need to start a grunge band and you refuse to play anything but backwards, and they get very angry why you haven't made it successful in a weekend. Now, I'm not saying have a one-night stand, but you got to come as close as you're morally possible. Just say not because, you know, you need to get your quote-unquote rocks off before you have a child.
What is this guy talking about?
There was this one time I was at a bar, etc. You just kind of make a bunch of mistakes so that you're not too good, because what child can live up to the expectations of Jesse Thorne?
I want to clarify something here.
That was a great like combination of fawning and nonsensical.
First of all, thank you very much to that guy for your kind words.
Sure.
I did not pick that. Brian Fernandez picked it.
Sure.
It was nice of him to pick that.
I didn't know that Brian Fernandez exists. Sorry.
It's not John Ratzenberger picked that. You know him, of course, from his roles in the Pixar films and as Cliff on Cheers. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, actually, you know, I think this brings up that those odd ramblings bring up a question that maybe is valid, and that's, you know, as a guy who, you know, like, you talk a lot about your dad's kind of cautionary tales of psychedelics and alcohol and
my mom's tales, which are not intended as cautionary tales, but function as cautionary tales.
Sure. And that is like when, you know, like your kid won't have those versions from you.
Right.
You know.
That's a concern to me. That's a genuine concern because
Teresa doesn't seem like, she seems like she's maybe had a similar life of, you know, non-mistake.
Yeah.
She did spend some time in Cuba, I guess, but I don't know what she...
We'll have to bring in aunts and uncles on that one. We do have some firepower in that department.
Sure. Gene?
You just bring Gene.
Yeah, you got me. I think between me and Gene, we could probably offer some some what not to do's.
I don't think you learn... You don't necessarily learn from the mistakes. In my case, I would try to imitate.
It's a great idea.
That's so cool.
I think we talked last week about my mom's friend Prickles and climbing the RKO Tower in Washington, D.C. So my family, there's a long history of sort of surprising revelations of just completely batshit insane stuff happening in their lives. My mom's I was at the, I was at jury duty and they said, have you ever been arrested for a felony? And I said, arrested or convicted? And like stuff like that just sort of is casually mentioned to me. I've never I am a colorful eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that going on.
Sure.
But besides that, I feel like I need to there, I maybe I need to make errors so that my children will know what not to do. But on the other hand, I mean, my wife's parents are very upstanding citizens, and my wife followed in their footsteps.
So you just never know how it's going to go. Are they going to rebel, or are they going to imitate? You never know.
That's a thing. I think my children there's this part of me that is concerned about having a child, because all I can think about is the period of time where they're going to hate me. It seems like such a bummer.
Yes,
so
I don't think
far
that's
away.
Yeah, but I don't think that's necessary. I never like disliked my parents.
Really?
Yeah, I absolutely not. I never had that.
I never did either.
Yeah, I never had that. Either. Fuck you, mom, dad.
No, I didn't. Either. My parents were ancient.
Out.
My dad was 65 when I was born. I mean, he was a geezer.
Yeah.
He was an old guy. He had missing teeth. He fell asleep in front of the TV with his mouth hanging open. I never made fun of him. I never imitated him.
That's all we ever did at my house was make fun of my dad. Like, that was the sole source of entertainment.
Did you have a rebellious phase?
I was a nerd. I had no social life. I just did my homework. When I got to college, maybe.
Okay.
After.
Nice. When you wanted a little excitement, you just read up on chimp masturbation. It was a Friday night. I don't think that's a... It sounds like you had a real fuck you mom dad phase in life, but I don't think everybody does. I definitely had a dad who probably should have been said fuck you to.
Yeah.
But I always just thought he was nice, you know.
Just because he was nice.
Yeah.
Because the funny thing is most people who have a fuck you mom and dad period in their lives, like... Even when I was getting along very well with my parents, I never misbehaved in any dramatic way, except that I never did my homework. And I just never did my homework all the way through college, essentially. College, it's a lot easier to do well in school without doing homework, because they don't give you stupid homework assignments. But I essentially never did any homework through my entire academic career. And... that, like, there were periods where my parents would fight with me over that and periods where they wouldn't. But I never, my fuck you period was never, like, I never was like, fuck you, I'm getting drunk and buying a motorcycle and riding around town on it.
Yeah. You know, my little sister at the kind of, and she's as upstanding a teetotaler as exists in the world. She definitely went through that kind of fighty period. It's like there's the kids who rebel by... you know, buy pot and motorcycles. But then there's just like the general door slamming and tone of voice rebellion, which I think is maybe more what you're worried about, is that there'll be that door slammy.
The frostiness.
Yeah, exactly.
The disdain.
Mm-hmm.
But what if there's another thing that happens? Like one of my brothers went through a period where he would like disappear in Berkeley for days at a time and just come back and... I'd later hear some story about, you know, some guy with a gun coming up to a basement window or something. Like, and he's literally the nicest person in the world. I'm remembering now that he listens to this show now, so I don't know what bearing that affects. I'm having to recalibrate my whole thing to the fact that some people who are in my family now actually listen to Jordan Jesse Go, specifically my two younger brothers. So my wife has written it off. My parents would never listen to it. He went through a troubled period that involved hanging out with weird people that owned guns. And he's really sweet. So I'm a little worried about, like, what if my son has a sullen rebellion?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mopiness.
I don't know. I'll just focus on,
Yeah, I think it's equally likely that it won't happen, but also, even if it does, it won't last unless you turn into some sort of actual asshole, you know?
It'll be fun because no matter what, he's going to go through a period where he thinks it's funny when I do a dance.
Sure.
That's what's important, right?
Between 2 and 3, man.
Especially since Jim Royale, the master of Would You Rather, lives so far away these days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't do a little dance with him.
Yeah.
I'll be able to do it with my son.
Adam Carolla mentions a pretty sweet philosophy, especially for him, a lot, where he talks about Like, he feels really gay doing it. And
he's,
this is Adam
he's a man known for his sweetness.
Sure, I know. He's, even though he feels, in quotation marks, gay doing it, he feels like he's like, it's the, you know, it's the number one thing you can do for your kids. Just turn on a Black Eyed Peas song and pick them up and dance with them. Even though it's against every, like, fiber in your body to do so. Like, see, you just have to do it. Anyway.
Yeah, I think you're going to get it no matter what. Because I have two stepkids who are grown now. Okay, and their mom, I mean, they did, it's just the greatest mom, you know, just really supportive and loving, et cetera, et cetera. And that meant that they went through sort of a delayed but extremely violent period of rebellion, because it was so hard to...
By violence, you mean nunchucks.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, they learned Gymkhata, yeah. Jordan.
Sure. but it was, you have, it made it harder to... push away, so it almost made it more extreme.
Yeah, that's what I'm scared about.
They just became so mean to her, and I thought, this is the world's greatest yeah. mother. She was so sweet, and how can you do this to her? But it was necessary to get away, because otherwise it was just so nice to be all the time with her and never grow up.
We'll see how it unfolds.
You're gonna get it no matter what. Yeah. But it's brief.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I'll think of it that way.
Yeah.
Just like life in that sense.
Sure. Well, that's just when you just buy a Lambo and get super into speedboats and
wait, you know it's a boy?
Yeah, I know it's a boy.
Yeah, boys don't do it. Boys are easier.
I get that.
They don't have that combative that kind of tone, that frosty, bitchy. Everything you do is so embarrassing. Please drop me off a block from school. I cannot be seen with you.
Yeah,
or a block from the dance.
The dance.
Do they have those anymore?
Who knows? Yeah, drop me off a block from Makeout Point.
From the sexting party.
Yes, exactly.
Or whatever it is you kids are up to these days. Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Mary Roach, author tricks.
Author of Packing for Mars, now out in paperback. A delightful read, Bonk, which I read on a cruise ship. Actually, I went on a cruise ship. My wife and I went on a cruise with Adam Lissagore just after, and his charming girlfriend Roxana, just after the economy collapsed. I was thinking, like, I wonder what this does to cruise ships. We went on like a 3-day, 2-night cruise for like $150 a piece. Yes. Something, maybe it was even less. It might have been $125 a piece. Like, it was $60 a night or something.
We did that, my husband's family too. Yeah, we got really cheap. 3 days, just, and no, there's no old people anymore. It's just really, really poor people.
Yeah, and just drunk.
It's cheaper than a night at the Motel 6.
Yeah.
But don't you have
and
to?
Drunks.
Don't you have to? Is the booze free, or do you
no,
have to like?
It's not.
You have to pay for the booze. That's the only thing you have to pay
that.
For.
Yeah. They don't mention that. So if you're a drunk, stupid person and you don't look into it, you go, "Hey, $150. It's all everything's paid."
Hmm. And the food's not really that bad. I mean, it's not good, but in the restaurant at dinner, it's
sure,
fair.
Nice.
It's totally passable, and then you get to eat all the soft ice cream you want for lunch. I wouldn't recommend it. Necessarily, but I'm happy that I spent that $125 on it.
It was well worth $125 for 3 days.
And it was a great opportunity to read a delightful and fascinating book by our guest, Mary Roach. When something important happens in your lives, we ask that you give us a call at 206-984-4FUN to tell us about it. Something not just important, but as we like to call it, momentous. Specifically, a momentous occasion. That was a really awkward intro. Like, I feel like I saved it to some extent with intonation, but it was constructed very, very poorly. Okay, let's take a listen to some momentous occasions, shall we?
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, guest. This is Colin in Park Slope, Brooklyn, home of celebrity judge John Hodgman. I just had a momentous occasion. I heard a Park Slope dad say to his 4-year-old son, "I'll buy you the first or the second Black Eyed Peas album because those are the good ones." I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Thanks for listening.
That is a very fine distinction.
Yeah.
I just imagine if my parents had been like really specific about like, you may want the Pointer Sisters album with Jump for My Love on it, which was my favorite song when I was a little kid. But we're going to get you that one where they're all dressed as flappers on the cover and they're doing a weird kind of swing disco hybrid.
This is weird. I can't decide whether I think this is responsible parenting or not. It seems, because it's like, okay.
Number one, but here's the thing. As someone who owns the first Black Eyed Peas album.
Sure.
I will say, while it is the good Black Eyed Peas album, the second album is not. Only the first one is all you want. They were always bad rappers.
Sure.
And they all, and Will.i.am was always a moderately talented to very talented producer. And they were always good dancers. They always put on a fun show.
Sure. Well, quality of Black Eyed Peas, it seems like, okay, I think, but this is a child. Like,
yeah.
Does the child need to have, like, shouldn't the child just be able to listen to music that they like as long as it's not damaging in any way?
Like, I honestly, I don't feel like the Black Eyed Peas are all that bad.
No, I mean,
I think the Black Eyed Peas are pretty much the best case scenario of that kind of thing.
If you're a child, too, you love that.
When I was a kid, this is how old I am. When I was a kid, my parents, there were two, I remember two LPs when I was, one of my earliest memories.
Enrico Caruso. To crank it up. And
sure.
It was the entire oeuvre of Gilbert and Sullivan. And it was so big, there was like this little box, and you'd open up, it had a little clasp that you... Mm-hmm. And there were six LPs, and there was that, and next to that was my brother. It was a Frank Zappa. So there was I had my choices were Frank Zappa and Gilbert and Sullivan.
Wow.
Yeah. So I turned away from music for a very long time. Not that there's anything wrong with Frank Zappa, but as a 6-year-old,
this is no dad calling with a momentous occasion. I just had my mind blown.
Sorry for that unusually long period of dead air there.
This is Odad calling with a momentous occasion. I just had my mind blown. Longtime listener, went to a show at the Ashby Stage. Amazing show, written by my friend. Lead actor killed it, and it was AshCon. It was amazing. I did not know.
I decided to actually play this one in part because you live in the East Bay. But our friend AshCon has been in this show called Beardo, at the Shotgun Players in Berkeley, California, right by the Ashby BART station, a very legitimate experimental theater group, probably the top experimental theater group in the Bay Area.
I know where that theater is.
It is a musical about Rasputin, and AshCon plays Rasputin in it. Jordan Jesse Go favorite, friend of the program, AshCon. I heard a rave review from forum regular Janie of the show. I know it just got extended. The run was through April 24th. It got extended through the 1st, which is when we're recording this. It may get extended again. But if it does, go see AshCon as Rasputin in Beardo, Bay Area residents.
I have a postcard on my office wall from somebody sent of it. It's Rasputin's. They have Rasputin's alleged penis in a glass jar. There's a photograph of a guy looking through a microscope, and then there's the penis in the jar, and it's in a museum.
Okay.
The Museum of Rasputin.
Yeah.
It's in Siberia somewhere.
It's in the Museum of Microscope Dicks.
Sorry, yeah.
Sorry.
I think I just got cut off, so I'm going to repeat myself. Hi, Jordan and Justin. This is Sachi from Portland, Oregon. I'm calling with a momentous occasion. So there's a swingers club in my neighborhood called Angels, and I was just walking by there, and a homeless man came bursting out of the doors. He was wearing a Carhartt jacket and a pair of sweatpants with a large boner sticking up, I guess protruding out of them. And he said to me, "I'm Barbara Walters." That's it. Thanks, guys. I love the show.
Yay!
We love you too.
Yay!
Oh,
it's weird that they let a homeless guy. I mean, maybe he just barged into the swingers club.
I think she said might have said singles club.
Oh, I thought she said swingers club.
I thought swingers club too, but then I convinced myself it was singles club.
Mm.
It sounds like Giles Brindley. You remember in Bonk the guy who the stuff in was a precursor to Viagra. He demonstrated to the audience by taking a dose. And then going on stage wearing sweatpants and pulling them tight to say, see how effective it is? And then he's like,
and then he electrocuted an elephant.
Then he's like, they're not getting it. So he pulls down the track pants.
Oh my God.
And walks like out into the audience so that people could feel the tumescence. And like women in the front row screamed and
wow.
ran.
Wow.
But it started with a boner in a tracksuit. That's where he.
How about it?
That's what triggered the memory of Giles Brindley and his. It was papaverine. That was the drug. Anyway.
Well, it is obviously a momentous occasion in the time you heard best-selling author talk about best-selling author Mary Roach talk about the pre-Viagra boner in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call it in. However, do put it in your cell phone, 206-984-4FUN, so that next time something momentous happens, you can give us a call. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
La, 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 la.
Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Mary Roach, authoratrix.
Listen, this book is out in paperback. You're going to think this is a delightful book. That's what my dollars to donuts. You will think it's a delight. This is my way of getting donuts, by the way, Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. Please mail Jesse donuts.
Dollars to donuts just means mail me donuts, right?
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure how it works. Okay. Mary Roach's book is called Packing for Mars. I want to thank all the... We had Volunteer Day just the other day here. You were stopping. You were here signing 8x10s.
Yeah, I did have to stop by to sign all of my 8x10s.
And we sent out a whole bunch of thank you gifts from our pledge drive. And the rest... Everything at this point, except for a few international boxes, is in the mail. So it should be showing up to you. Things are coming in different boxes. Some people are emailing me like, oh, I got one of the things I was supposed to get, not all of them. But things are going out in the mail now. You'll get them within the next couple of weeks. And special thanks to all of the folks who came out here and volunteered.
I'd like to see some, from the people who did get signed 8x10s, I would like to see pictures of them framed and mounted in your house. So,
okay.
Send those in.
Yeah, jjgo@maximumfun.org. Send that shit in. Speaking of things to send in... when we had the action item to give me advice on what I should do during my 30th year and you advice on what you should do during your 29th year, there was a lot of talk about surprising parent revelations.
Mm-hmm.
Like that subject really seems to have struck a chord.
Yeah.
So I want to make that this week's action item. Give us a call at 206-984-4FUN and tell us the craziest thing that your parent ever revealed to you in an unexpected context. And I think we're going to get some good stuff. 206-984-4FUN, jjgo@maximumfun.org. Again, our guest has been Mary Roach. Her book is called Packing for Mars. It's all about space, the history of space travel, and whether with the grand vision of whether man can ever travel to Mars. But it's also about things like astronaut ice cream and Tang and their connections, purported or actual, to the space program. Our theme music, Love You, by The Free Design, courtesy of Light in the Attic Records. We're online at MaximumFun.org, where we have a lively forum where people love to discuss this program.
Very lively.
Here's some shit I need to get off my chest, Jordan.
Okay.
I was just on Tweeters.
Sure.
You've heard of this.
I have.
It's instant messaging technology for sexting skateboards or something.
Yeah.
And I noticed that our friends at My Brother and Me, who I hasten to point out have fewer listeners than we do. It's
sure.
close. They're okay. a very popular program.
Yep.
Fewer listeners than we do. Many more tweets on their subject.
Mm.
This week, I want more tweets about Jordan Jesse Go than there are about My Brother and Me, so I don't have to go to the people that I write a check to every month, my employees, if you will. They're not legally my employees,
no,
but something like
yeah,
that.
Sure.
The people that are supposed to be working under me.
Mm-hmm.
When I say jump, they're supposed to say how high. What's happening right now is if I call up the Mabimbams and I say jump, they say, yeah, we have a lot more Twitter messages with our hashtag.
Mm.
Hashtag is JJGo.
Okay.
Look, I don't care what you write.
Sure. Just hashtag it JJGo.
Hashtag
it
JJGo.
It can be whatever you were Twittering.
Look, and don't at message JJGo because at JJGo is now a German lady. So don't send it
nice.
To the... She seems like a nice German lady.
What is your at thing?
I'm at Young American. Jordan is at Jordan_Morris. Eugene O'Neill just recently signed up.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. I can't remember what his Twitter is, or I'd plug it. But I'll put it in the forum. How about that? But hashtag JJGo. Honestly, I would love it if you recommended Jordan Jesse Go. I would love it if you linked to a favorite episode or said a favorite quotation or, you know, said something momentous happened to you and hashtagged it JJGo. But I'll take pretty much anything. Just hashtag it JJGo. I want more messages hashtag JJGo this week, this coming week, than the Mabim Bams. Do you think we can do it? I think we can do it.
I hope we can do it.
We got a fucking guy high-fived Yao Ming on our behalf. If we can get somebody to high-five Yao
Ming.
Yeah, we can
do basically anything.
We can fucking beat somebody. We invented Twitter.
Sure.
We explained Twitter
to... South by Southwest. We invented it.
Hashtag JJGo. Okay, we'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go. Thank you for being here, Mary.
Thanks for having me.